Hey guys, excited for this next episode of the Business of Digital podcast. Today we have a very special guest of mine and Dave's, a good friend of ours. Casey, thank you for joining us.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here, and you guys know I love chatting with you.
Yes, yeah, we were talking before we started recording how, you know, certain people in this industry, just it's more than just like an internet family, it feels like family. And so I think Dave's over there somewhere. If he unmutes himself, he thinks he's going to get away without chatting in this session. But how's it going, Dave?
No, my microphone is on crazy, having a crazy day today, so I will be muted a lot. No, I am here, clearly.
All right, so what we wanted to do, Casey, before we really jump into anything, I do want to give our listeners and those that may not be familiar with you or new, just kind of give us a brief little, you know, your background and, you know, where you work and all that good stuff and where people can get a hold of you, and then we'll just jump into this.
All right. Yes, Casey Gillette. I'm the Senior Director of Digital Marketing at Co-Marketing. So we're based in Boston, B2B digital marketing firm. Been around quite some time, as have I. So getting to that point, right, where it's like 15 years here, like that's feels
veterans.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you can find me on Twitter. I'm hanging on there at KCG or at comarketing.com. So yeah, super excited to be here. Super excited to talk to you. I also have been very fortunate to speak on a number of panels with Matt, and you know, excited to do that again.
I look at it the other way. I've been the one that's been fortunate. I have loved being able to do these sessions with you. I love it whenever, you know, these the agendas come out and I look and I'm like, oh, Casey's
doing this. I know. So that was like, yes, like my PubCon partner in crime.
Exactly, because then you know that we're gonna have a decent session. It flows good.
Fun.
And so that's really that's what we're gonna talk about today in today's session, you guys. And so that's why we wanted Casey on, because the upcoming PubCon Pro, the recently rebranded PubCon Vegas, it's now PubCon Pro, and we're going to be speaking on a session, and it's called Visual and Video Content Marketing. And just, again, anyone wants detailed descriptions, they can go look at the PubCon website. But basically, Casey and I have been doing a lot with content and a lot with visual content and videos and things like that over the years, and with our clients and our own websites and what we're doing. And so basically, this is what we're going to get into, and this is what we're going to talk about today. And so I guess the first question that I would put out there to you, Casey, is in regards to your session, what are some of the high level points that you're going to be talking about? What are you going to be getting into for your session?
Yeah, and I love this. And you know, we've talked a little bit about this before at other PubCons, and but what I like is that this is sort of changing. And for me, I talk a lot about content, but there's this idea that, you know, you start talking about content, I start talking about goals and white papers, and people's eyes just like glaze over. People like videos, they like images. So, you know, I think it's fun to talk about that. But what's also interesting is, you know, some of the recent updates with search results have included more video, right? So we're seeing like video carousels coming up, like we're seeing images and knowledge graph, and you have all of these things where images become a lot more important than just your written content. So I think it's important to talk about that. And when we think about content marketing in so many sessions that talk about content, I don't know that they always cover the visual side of it, right? So, you know, you've been great about talking about that forever because you guys do so many cool things, but I feel like that's not the norm.
Yeah. No, I would definitely agree. And, you know, it's one of those things I was thinking about when, you know, when we were talking about recording this session, and kind of, you know, it got me thinking about how we've evolved even at Avalanche Media. I remember, you know, we've been creating visual content really since 2007, if you could believe that. I remember one of the first pieces that I would say, quote unquote, went viral, if you will, was done in 2008. And the funny thing is, like, we didn't call it an infographic, or we didn't call it, you know, we didn't have all these, you know, different terms that they have nowadays. We just, hey, we're creating kick-ass visual content, you know? And so, like, this is, you know, or just an awesome visual. And so, you know, that's one of those, I learned way back in the day, you know, and I don't know if anybody remembers this one, but one of those first ones we put out, it was the history of the electrical guitar. And what made it go well, like, you know, you could read an article on that, and there can be like images here and there or whatever, and it can be all right, like it'd probably do okay. But what we learned with that one was, because we put them all side by side, you know, all the major levels from the very beginning, and then at the end we went ahead and threw an Xbox controller one in there, you know, for Guitar Hero, just because we thought it would be funny, because it's kind of like what it evolved to, like how many people were playing guitars and then ended up like doing that now. And
right.
And I threw that in there because I'm like, you know, this is a cool visual, but it's gonna start a conversation. And sure enough, it did. It got people that, you know, like the guitar purists were like, this is awesome, except you had to put that in. And then the gamers were like, hey, we love that. It's so awesome that you put that in. And it's so true that this is the evolution, you know? So it got this like conversation and argument going between these two. And you know, we had people, hey, that would make an awesome shirt. Can you guys print it up for us? Or can you make a poster out of it, or this or that? And that, like, really, and the reason I'm sharing all this is that's really kind of like the fuel that kind of, you know, you mentioned how, and hopefully it wasn't in a, he's talking about it again, you know, how I'm always getting into the visual content, but like, that's really what was the driving force for me and learning just the power of it from back then. So
I think what's awesome too is that it's so much more accessible to people now. So when we think about images and we think about videos, like the technology has evolved. Like even in the last 10 years, where a regular person can make a decent image, right? A regular person can make a decent video, and that wasn't the case. So that barrier to entry is so much lower. And for me, I think that's really cool. You know, I remember having conversations with clients around, you know, here's where videos could be really helpful. And it was going to take production and huge budgets. And so of course they weren't going to do that, you know, but now it's like, you can just record like a demo, or you can record something on your computer or your phone, and it's pretty decent.
Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because, you know, it's something that I have been preaching to, you know, the clients that I've had forever. And there's some people, you know, some smaller people in my local area that I'm friends with, that I do trades with, or this and that. And I try to teach them, here's the power. Like I have this guy, for example, you know, a friend of mine, and he's an HVAC technician, and he comes and he, you know, he services my air conditioning, and I kind of help him with what he needs to do online and answering his questions and things like that. And forever he was just like, no, like, I, you know, he didn't want to do a video because, you know, he was worried. He's like, it's got to be a big production, and I got to spend lots of money on it for it to work well, right? And I'm like, no, you don't always have to do that. And so I told him, I was like, here, as a test, let's just, you know, one of the things that was really hot, and this was several years ago, there was a big hailstorm that came through, and it damaged a ton of ACs. And so there was a lot of people looking for, you know, hell damaged AC replacement, warranty, things like that. And so I said, let's create a video that's basically addressing this. And he ended up, he created it. And sadly, I didn't teach him well enough, because he did it in portrait mode instead of, but hear me out. So that was like the only downfall.
It's totally your fault, Matt.
That's right, Matt. You didn't tell him that.
It is.
You were a bad Yoda.
But he did record the video and he put it out there, and he ended up getting this, someone that owned these big commercial buildings that had millions of dollars in damage and work needed, saw that video, called him up, and he's like, yep, I can take care of you. And so he literally got millions of dollars in a contract because of that simple, stupid portrait video. But my point is,
though, that's the point, right? That it's like, you can create these things that don't have this amazing marketing value, and like that drives real business.
Yeah, exactly. And that right there is what I hope people take from this and understand, you know, and do that. And that's one of the things I've been seeing a lot of individuals with their personal branding lately. And I don't know if you've seen this or have any thoughts on it, but I've been seeing a lot of people on Facebook taking advantage of, you know, the Facebook Live or the Instagram stories.
The Instagram stories.
Yeah, and really starting to try to promote their personal branding and that side of it. And so I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I do. It's, I mean, it's interesting to me. And I have a, I've been thinking a lot about this because a lot of times, you know, I follow people on Instagram because I like, they're my friends, right? But sometimes I forget that they're also business owners. So I'm watching a story and, you know, someone's at a conference and they're talking about themselves and they're like talking about their services. And I'm like, I don't care about that. I'm like, oh, right. I'm not the market. But I was thinking about that and I was like, well, that makes sense, right? It's such an easy avenue. And, you know, you think about where we're at with business and this customer experience and people want that human connection, right? People want to feel like they know who they're buying from and that, you know, that brand speaks to them. Well, what an amazing way to do that is that they can see you like front and center, you know.
Yeah, you're never going to get that from an About Us page.
Exactly. Definitely not.
So that's where that awesome visual side of it. And so it's funny because as we're talking about this, like I think about a lot of the stuff that I do with photography, and there's so many examples of even businesses and platforms, you know, things that products that I use in photography that use platforms. And it, you know, you were talking about that and it got me thinking. I'm like, hey, wait, like I love these guys and I've been following, but dang it, they've been marketing to me and I've been falling for it. I'm a marketer. But like, so it got me thinking about it and I'm like, all right, well, hey everybody, breaking news, I'm gonna be adding some stuff to my PubCon presentation. Got some great examples.
Just need to make some updates.
We'll make some updates. We got a, you know, from the time we recorded this, we have a couple of months, so
yeah,
not
that's
sure when
right.
we're gonna be posting this, but so yeah, and I don't know, Dave, if you have any questions for Casey or myself, but you know, I would love to hear your thoughts.
I don't know if it'll fit in with your talk, but I don't really care. since I have both of you guys here talking, and this might just be a bonus for those that do attend your session. As far as and I always go back to Todd Malico's stunt doubles post from years ago about hooks for when you're doing content.
Oh yeah.
When someone is creating a video or thinking about what if I do this video, what questions should they have? And I'm not talking about, we've talked about metrics before, Matt, and you know, what and you can mention that if you want to, Casey, but when they start going, oh, we should make a video, and you start thinking about hooks, whether it's, you know, this needs to be a brand, this needs to be a news, we're going to try to newsjack, we're going to try to, you know, tie into XYZ. What questions, whether it's just at least one or two, do they really need to sit down and think about before they start trying to make a video or an infographic or any sort of visual kind of content?
You know,
that's a great question. Go.
I feel like I have to take this.
We only have about 10 more minutes.
I know you're about to get me on a tangent here. No, I mean, I start off like every discussion around content with the idea that what is your goal, right? I mean, I think we get into this trap of I have to create. And Matt sort of talked about it earlier with like people want to do infographics, so they want to do whatever. And you always have to ask the question of why, right? What are you doing it for? And so, you know, a lot of times
because
when I'm thinking about
did.
That, wait, other people are doing it. Absolutely.
Yeah, our
someone told me at a conference I had to do it.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to do
it. Yeah, you know? But, you know, I think about, like, things, there's just, for us, there's obviously a lot of search thing, you know, search presence involved or addressing, like I think about how to questions and how there's so much video around that and how easy it is to answer someone's questions, but what are you trying to get out of that? What is the goal? Same thing, right? Whether you're, it doesn't matter what you're creating, you have to know what the purpose of it is and start from there. Anyway, yeah, I could go on about this forever, but if there's anything you want to add there, Matt.
No, that right there, especially over the last year, is what I've really been, maybe the last couple of years, but more focused within the last year, this year specifically, I have been trying to drill into people is creating it with that purpose. And you know, that's when we go back to, when whether it be an infographic video or whatever, like, is our purpose of this video to get links? Are we trying to do it for SEO purposes? Are we trying to get leads from this? Do we want to make a sale from this? Is it going to be for training purposes? Is it going to be for community or brand building? Or, you know, are we doing this specifically for reputation? So a lot of people pick it up and we can do some outreach on it. And when they search for us, you know, we come up, our name comes up with all this. And so like that right there, I think is probably the golden ticket for anyone listening to this presentation or this session today. And when they come to our session at PubCon,
right.
is helping them. Right? Exactly. Helping them understand like that's the point of all this. Like, you know, if you're just, you know, and again, I fell into the trap way back in the day. You know, I would create content just because I wanted to get on the front page of Dig because it was such an adrenaline rush. Yeah. I'm really dating myself, you know, with being on the front page of Dig. But it, you know, people laugh now. But if you remember, I mean, you know, when you made the front page of Dig, you'd get hundreds of thousands, if not millions of visits, and you know, so much traffic it would crash your servers and stuff, and it was kind of like, you know, I can't believe we were actually happy about that back in the day. But
so fun.
Anyway, so
it was fun.
It was exactly, but it's evolved, and that's what we're saying, you know, and that's what we're hoping that people get from this. And there's gonna be a lot less headaches and a lot less money wasted if you're going into it with what we're talking about here. So
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, those are my thoughts, Dave.
And what about especially for KC in the B2B space, if someone is creating visual content in the B2B space, the first thing I think you have to think of after what the goal is who the audience is. What would you tell someone if they're trying to figure out how to pinpoint? Is it personas? Is it, you know, looking at your current clients and prospects? What do you usually work with people or suggest people do to try to figure out and pinpoint? You know, you need to go and target and get in front of office managers, or you need to get in front of the marketing manager, or you need to get in front of the CTO. Like, what kind of questions, tools, kind of framing do you guys work with on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I usually am looking, I mean, it's a combination, right? So typically we already know, like, here's who the audience is. But then what's amazing to me is, you know, I think we're pretty spoiled in the search space. In that we have so many tools at our disposal. So I really push a lot of the like question-based tools, right? So the Answer the Publics and the SEMrush and BuzzSumos that have these questions that people are addressing. Now you can't necessarily tie that back to the actual person, but you can start to figure out, right? People in this space are typically asking these sort of questions, but more so, I like to get to like where it's at in the actual buyer journey. Because like we have clients, right, who it's fine to create blog posts. And, you know, I've gone through this whole thing before where we spent years creating like top of the funnel content for a client before realizing like, oh, right, we forgot to create content for their actual customers, like who we still need, right? Like
we need
them to say customers. And that's completely shifted, you know, our strategy there, because we weren't, you know, and it's mainly, I'll take the blame for this one. It's like, I wasn't looking across the buyer journey. I was focused on, okay, well, we're reaching this audience. We're growing traffic, we're growing leads, but not in the right way. So I think you have to look at all those things, but I do think we're pretty lucky, right? There are a lot of tools out there. You know, if you're running AdWords, right, being able to look at that from the organic perspective and see, here's what people are converting on. Here are all the queries. Like, that data is so awesome.
It's powerful. So
it is.
It's powerful. And if they deny that, then they're just stupid. So.
Yeah.
Well, the other stupid heads. Okay, we're moving on.
My bad.
the other thing that I forgot to mention for this session, and we didn't have her on, but and I'm gonna murder her last name unless you know how to say it, Casey. But we do have Kathleen Bodenlos. Anyway, I probably murdered her last name, but I thought it was interesting. She's the director of marketing for the Carnegie Museum of Natural History, and so. That's a fun one. That's one I think you could have so much fun with visual. And so she's going to be on our session along with our amazing moderator, Melissa. We all love Melissa Fash so much.
Melissa.
And so anyway, I don't know if you have any final thoughts, Casey, you know, that you want to share, you know, getting people pumped up about this session and coming and checking us out. But I'm going to let you wrap this up for us.
I mean, the last time we got into some pretty hilarious conversations with people, there were some cool tools mentioned. There were some funny stories discussed. We talked about a monkey taking a selfie. So really, I would come because you never know where it's going to go. But no, you know, more so, I think this is a really interesting concept. We're all creating content. We have to think about different ways to do it. And, you know, that's what I like about this. So come.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned your little plug about a lot of tools being mentioned, because something that I don't know if I've talked to you about it, but I've sent so many people to your blog post and to your presentation after, people that come to me I don't do a lot on tools and a lot of the stuff that we do in-house at Avalanche Media. You know, we created ourselves, but there's a lot of people out there that want to know how to do certain things themselves, and are there any cool tools for visuals? And so I don't normally share a lot about that, but people are always asking me about that. So I've probably sent a dozen, if not more, people from the last time we spoke to that presentation. And so,
thanks, Matt.
That's a good tip, for putting in here for people that are thinking about coming. I know that they're probably going to get some awesome tools and maybe some updated ones, or if there is, I don't know, but they're still going to get some awesome tool ideas from you. So
yeah,
that's great.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I do appreciate you coming on and joining us, and I look forward to our PubCon session.
Yes.
And just our time in PubCon. So
can't wait to see you guys and everybody else
who's
there.
For those that do come to this session, you can get a really good seat, because right after that will be my session.
That's right.
Where we're going to talk about data-driven content marketing audit. So we're going to basically walk you through how to go through your blog and all your visual content to figure out what's been working and what hasn't.
There you go. And on that note, for Casey Gillette and Dave Rohr, I'm Matt Soltila, and I appreciate you guys joining us. And we'll catch you on the next one of these Business of Digital Podcast. Bye, all.